Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the Business Angels Podcast. I'm your host, Veronica, and today we're going to be speaking with Nicole Rogers. Nicole is an empowerment transformation coach. She helps influencers, speakers, and artists communicate their message, make an impact, change the world, all through creating a powerful presence. I'm super excited to talk to her, so stick around, and I'll be back right after this.
Tony Robbins once said, "No matter how many mistakes you make or how slow you progress, you are still way ahead of everyone who isn't trying." This is the Biz Essentials. You want to grow, get ahead, keep the spark. Here you'll get valuable insights and empowerment to grow personally and professionally. Isn't it about time you turn your dreams into successful passion projects? Learn how to be productive, be successful, be joyful, and more importantly, be yourself. The B Essentials. This is the Biz Essentials. And this is your host, Veronica of Veronica Ventures.
I'm super excited to have you here today because you are all about creating that powerful presence. How do you do that? Tell us a little bit about yourself and what it is that you do.
My first career was as a performer. I had a 20-year career in the theater. I loved what I was doing, but I hit a ceiling. I had come to New York to be on Broadway. Isn't that why you go to New York, right? That's the big dream. But what I found was that I really started to identify with my results. And because there was so much rejection, really, then it really turned into, if I get the show, I'm good enough as a person. And if I don't, I'm bad. So this was really starting to have a massive effect on my confidence, really on my well-being. And then what happened for me was in 2013, I call it my year of the flame. And pretty much I lost everything that I knew of my life. In 1 year's time, I went through a devastating divorce. I lost a dear friend to a heart attack. I was in 2 car accidents on one day and I was robbed. Wow. And yeah, because it really was everything that I knew. It was like a massive bonfire. And so for the first time in my life, I actually asked for help. I had a little voice that came up in my head the day after my ex dropped the bomb. And it said, "You need meditation." And I remember thinking, yeah, that would probably be a really good idea considering I'm about to lose everything. I got into therapy. I finally got the help that I had been knowing that I needed for a good 4 years before everything fell apart. And I started seeking. And it was crazy because in seeking meditation, I actually found myself looking for Buddhism, which I was like, wait a minute. I thought I was looking for meditation, but you know, when you just kind of trust the path for wherever it goes, I started trying all these forms of Buddhism and I went to this support group called the Healing Circle. And I'd never been to a support group before. I was 37 years old. They're like passing the mic around and I'm like, oh my God, I'm terrified. But when the mic came to me, I decided to do something I had never done publicly, which was to be completely honest and vulnerable. I poured out my heart to everybody there, what was happening, why I was there. And a miracle happened, which was that they came closer. And not just that, but it seemed to open up a space for each person to do the same. After the meeting, I went up to the teacher because I was like, oh, this was so helpful. I'm coming back every month. And he looked at me and he said, "That was really courageous." And it was like, I'd never considered what courage was. And I realized that all these years, not just as a performer, but as a woman, I had been wrong. Like I had thought that if I was vulnerable like that and really showed my soft side, that I'd be rejected. But the exact opposite was shown. And that healing circle was actually the beginning, the seed of powerful presence. That's the first time I had experienced it, but I didn't know at that time. You know, I just knew I'd experienced something transformative and very different. I somehow made it through 2013 without dying, which is amazing. And I came into 2014 and I had this feeling of possibility. I was 38. I didn't know what did it mean as a woman to create my own life. I'd gone straight from high school to college to literally getting married 2 weeks later. I had no idea what that meant. And so I hired a coach. And that coach was brilliant because she got me back in touch with my childhood love, which was writing. I had placed my writing in the closet. You know, it became something very private, even though it was something that was natural and I loved. So I launched this blog. Meanwhile, I have a complete resurgence in my performance career. And this is after 19 years in the business. Directors and choreographers that had never paid attention to me are suddenly saying, Nicole? And it wasn't just that. It was that I felt different. I felt fearless. I felt like I could make mistakes. And I was like, this is radically, radically different. So my coach says to me, okay, now you've got to monetize the blog. And I'm like, what's that mean? I think I was doing a production of Little Mermaid at the time. So she took me through this exploratory process. And at the end of it, I went, oh my God, I want to do what you're doing. I want to be a coach. And I want to teach about this transformation. I want to teach about powerful presence. I got fully certified. I took on a business coach because I didn't know anything about being an entrepreneur. And I opened the doors of my business in 2015. And here we are. Holy moly, this is my 7th year of business. And now I've helped hundreds of people across the globe to really reclaim their confidence and discover that who they are is their greatest power.
Wow. For those of you who are listening to this on the podcast and not on YouTube, holy cow, like my face was just like mesmerized because there was so much in that that just like spoke to me and my heart was like overwhelmed and I don't even know where to start. The writing thing, first I want to touch on that because I think that's fantastic that your coach had you go to that, because one of my personal beliefs and things that I kind of talk about in the show is that everyone has those things that bring joy and spark. And usually they come with ease to people. And because they're easy, a lot of people, including myself, don't see them as a talent because anybody can do this, but if they can't, that's something that I learned recently. And so clearly that writing was something that was a part of you and those gifts were given to you for a reason and you used them and it propelled you into this other line of career, which is all about following that path. And I'm totally rambling. See what happens when you talk and it is so powerful. I've lost my brain.
But I completely agree with what you're saying. And it's so important. And this is a large component of powerful presence, right? Because if you truly are able to claim and understand that who you are is your greatest power, then you want to go on a journey of self-discovery. Then it becomes about really connecting in with what are those talents? What are those gifts? What are these things that have just kind of always been there? And for some people, they might need to kind of really take a loving step back because things have been told that you can't make money with that. That's not what you do, quote unquote. You know, there's so much negative and toxic messaging out there that kind of like puts people into a box as opposed to allowing a person to really connect in with, wow, this is when I just feel alive. There's this beautiful process I take my clients through called the Passion Matrix. And it's pretty much exactly that, but it's a beautiful moment. And I always love seeing this in a client when they go, wait, I always do feel alive there. Wait, I always feel a sense of flow there. Wait, this is something that I want to do, right? I want to put energy into, and conversely helping them to draw boundaries around those things that they're like, the truth is every time I go to do this, it just feels like I'm going uphill. It just feels like no matter how hard I try, it's never going to work. So I think about when I launched my business, and I'm sure you can relate. I was very clear that I was not a coder. I was really proud of the computer skills I had, but holy moly, like my brain just didn't work that way. And so the very first person I brought into my business was a virtual assistant. And she's been with me since day one. I love her. I'm constantly telling her how grateful I am for her because that's her jam. That's her genius. She looks at all of that stuff and it makes sense to her. I love that because then it becomes about what are we creating together? Right. And it allows me to just be in the place where I feel good and her to be in the place where she feels good.
Right. That's amazing. And that's so funny that you said that because I have the same kind of situation going on with one of my friends. I'm a total techie and she's an alignment coach. And so we work well together. Also, I help her with tech. She helps me with, you know, my life. That I'm not so good at. Tech, I get. So when you work with your clients and help them create that unstoppable confidence, that powerful presence, where do you begin?
I love that. And I'm going to mention this now. I know we'll revisit it at the end, but I actually have this really beautiful process around reclaiming your confidence. And I have a little gift that I would love to give to all of your listeners on how to reclaim confidence and finally transform your life. The very first thing is giving them some tools around how to come into their body. I'm sure we can all relate to like how so much of the world has caused us to live in our heads. But when we have our bodies and our minds together, that's the unstoppability, right? That we're able to bring everything forward. We're not just a heart. We're not just a head. Like, we're a whole body. So I begin by helping them to come into their body. I have practices that I will offer to everybody, but it's also a beautiful exploration to say, hey, what works for you? For some person, breath work might be how they drop in. Another person, it might be running. Another person, it might be mantra. Another person, it might be sound healing. But it becomes that beautiful discovery about what is a practice that allows me to come into my body in a sense of peace and quiet. The reason being, when you're in your body, then you can hear. You can hear what you need. And so, you know, I always begin by bringing people into a sense of grounding. I take them through this thing called three breaths. Your breath is always with you, and it is probably the single most transformative tool we all have at our fingertips at every moment. It's amazing. I mean, just think, like, breathing in and breathing out. Oh, there's more space.
Right?
So
peaceful. Yeah.
Yeah. It begins with coming into the body and relaxing. And then from there, coming back into touch with what a lot of coaches will call your resources. But what I'll say is kind of like your power. Those moments when you did feel confident, what were you doing? What was alive? This is why I talk about reclaiming, because we were all born whole. We were all born complete. There's been a forgetting, but what I love to do with my clients is take them on that sort of reclamation that allows them to come back in and go, there it is. And for some, it might be going back to something that happened a year ago. For others, it might be going back to something that happened when they were 3 or 4, or maybe they were just like, oh my God, I love my crayons on the wall. It's the best feeling in the world. I feel so confident as I'm drawing this tree. But it is recognizing it was always there. It never left. It's just been covered. Being able to reclaim your confidence only happens in space. So we create the space first and then allow ourselves to drop in and reconnect with that power within. Because when you are then doing your work, doing your art, doing your speech, presenting yourself, from that place, it's much easier, right? And your audience is going to be like, wait a minute, I want to hear that, because they're feeling that same energy. So it's like, calm yourself and come into the body so that others can do the same. Does that make sense?
That makes absolute sense. And wow, it's funny because you're talking and first of all, I became all calm and you have such a relaxing voice. I'm like, I can listen to you forever. But also then you're talking about, you know, things being buried, and I completely agree with you. But the first thing that popped into my head was like, this little light of mine, you know?
Yes!
And we all have that. And I think you're absolutely right. It gets the kid drawing with the crayons on the wall, the parents come in and you're, what are you doing? You know, and then all of a sudden, it's not what I did was bad, is that I'm bad for having done it. And as a parent, I'm scared that I'm going to do that to my children. But also, it gives us some hope in that if we can reclaim that, we can empower our kids to do the same. When we reclaim our power, how do we know what to do with it?
I love that question because, you know, I work with very passionate people. I tend to work with influencers, public figures, speakers, and artists. So they have something to say. Like, you have something to say with your podcast, as you've shared, like, it's important to you. And so I feel like that first part of the process, right, the relaxing and coming into the body, also allows you to drop in an important question, which is, what is it that I want to teach? If you are in your body, not just like in a spinning wheel, but if you are in your body and you really like sit with that, then maybe a color will arise or an image, or maybe you find yourself picking up a pen and journaling like crazy. I want to teach da 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 da. And it's so important for people to know. Then that becomes the point from which you are speaking. That is the point from which you are teaching. And the reason that's so important is because it's based more on your values. What ended up happening for me was I found my home in Zen. I tried many different Buddhist practices, but when I found Zen, my whole body just said, yes, this is it. The one that was so transformative for me was that I have a Buddha within, that I have perfection within. Then it was like, wait a minute, if I have perfection within, then I'm going to be okay. Because I had an enormous amount of shame about going through a divorce. I had an enormous amount of shame around a lot of very destructive things I had done in my marriage and also that I'd done to myself. There was a lot of self-hatred. And so there was all of this like heaviness. This was like tapping into that unstoppable confidence, which is, I am whole despite all of this. Because this is so important for me, right? When I drop in and I say, what do I want to teach? That's what I want to teach because it transformed my life. It gave me hope. It allowed me to create a whole new life at the age of 38 and find my purpose and meaning after feeling very like, what the heck am I doing? I had hit every single level except Broadway. I mean, it was a joke, actually. It was like I did off Broadway, national tours. I was a New York City Rockette. I did national commercials. It was like, what's the deal, people? But when I lost everything and I went through this journey, then I was like, oh, this is the deal. There was an opportunity for some great wisdom. And for me to also look at that when I was choreographing, when I was performing, this value to bring people to a place of inquiry and look at their wholeness was always there. I just didn't know. It was kind of like I was going through my life asleep. One of my first Zen teachers said to me, he said, you know, it's like you're in the same room you were always in, but now the light is on. And I was like, oh my gosh. And you know what? I don't know where the light switch is anymore. I don't know how to turn it off. It's like it got turned on. And I would rather live like this. To go back to your question, you know, when you are able to come into your own presence, right? Access your powerful presence, your power, your being, you can be asking these questions. This is something I do with my clients, is exploring this so that then whatever goals you create, whatever action steps are forward, they're coming from this place. Right? It becomes much more about, I want to build my platform, my message around this because, oh my gosh, if I have a mountaintop or a podium or a room or a person, this is what I want to say. And I know in my heart, it's going to make a difference.
Clearly you're in the right line of work because every time you talk, I get mesmerized and then I forget what I'm going to say, but no, but it's so important. And I completely agree with you. The hard thing for me is dropping into my body, but that's a whole different conversation. But it's true. When you move from that space, it seems like it all clicks. And I think we can all a little bit relate to it. Even if you think you've never been there, guys, think about when you're about to fall asleep and all of a sudden you start having like all these ideas. That's like your brain finally relaxed and your body can talk. That's the way I look at it, because that's like the one time that I'm like, oh, so that's what it feels like. But it's true. And I think we can all relate to that. Now, let's say I drop into my body and I have all these ideas of what I want to do with my life and the messages that I want to communicate. How do I learn to do that effectively?
These are great questions, Veronica.
Thank you.
There is the first dropping in and connecting to it, like you said. And then there is the next step, which is the actual communication. So then you have started to incorporate a practice of dropping into your body. Typically, this is going to be a morning routine, although for some people, it's an evening. Like it really kind of depends. But let's say it's a morning and you now started to cultivate a practice, whether it is breath work or meditation or yoga or a run or mantra work, you know, whatever it is, but it's something that you recognize that the noise quiets down. That's how you know. And only you know, you are the only person in your body, but you know, wow, before I did this, I felt like I was spinning. And afterwards, I feel space. Now that you've started this practice, then that practice starts to get integrated into your presentation, into your speaking. So this is why it has to be practice first. Here's some like kind of practical ways that I'm talking about this. Let's say you're speaking in front of somebody and you're standing, then you would be taking the moment to say, how can I stay in my body? How can I keep from going right up, right out up the head and into the sky? Then you might imagine roots growing out of the bottom of your feet. Then you might shift your weight a little bit and bend your knees. Then you might take a pause in the conversation to just kind of touch yourself and feel your breath. Now, if you're on a podcast like you are and you're sitting in a chair, then it's a similar thing, but instead of, I mean, it could be your feet, but it can also be your seat. Mm-hmm. It's like, what are these places that connect with the earth, which is the ultimate grounding force? It becomes like, how can I connect to the earth, whether I'm standing, sitting, lying down, you know, however it is that you are presenting. But that becomes the practice that you then incorporate within your presentation.
I think I got it all. We need to make sure we connect with ourselves is the very first thing. So I have a long way to go, is all we're saying.
You're doing it right now, literally.
True. So we connect with ourselves, we get in touch with what it is that brings us joy, and we start developing a practice of connecting with that, not just the joy, but connecting with ourselves on a daily basis. And that will kind of lead us on the right path to formulating our path, for lack of a better word.
Yeah, because remember that exactly what you said about there's the four-year-old with crayons and, oh my God, look at what I made. This is so great. And then, like you said, there is some sort of parental figure that comes in and shuts it down, right? That sort of parental projection becomes kind of like an ongoing loop in the head. And it can be projected onto culture. It can be projected onto relationships, but it becomes something that's kind of like going all the time. So how do we disengage from something that is so prevalent, especially if it was from our own caregivers, which for most of us, it was. So in order to disengage that and reclaim, we need to create space. We need to create space. So these practices of connecting with yourself are doing that. They're doing that in the mind. They're doing that in the body. The two practices that have changed my life have been meditation and Qigong. So meditation allows me to come into my body and really be there in silence and know that I was someone that used to ping off the walls and listen to music and watch TV all the time until I realized how much it damaged my life, how much it played a part in my divorce. And I was like, I don't want to do that again. But then with Qigong, you've got something that is taking stuck energy and moving it. So you have to create the space so that things can move. Then once things are moving, then you're like, ah, my voice is working better. My body is moving freely. I'm not freaking about like, what am I doing with my hands or where are my feet? You know, things like that. It becomes a sort of like, what am I doing before I speak? What am I doing before I present? Really allowing that to be integrated into the body so that when you then are doing the presentation, that it just becomes a part of it. Like right now, I've got my feet squarely on the floor so I can really feel it. My back is beautifully supported. I'm on a pillow, like feels good. Like I feel like I can feel my seat and I can feel my feet because for me, that works. But it can be something so simple that we just forget because we're excited. So it can be basic, which I'm like, what a relief. Thank God. Okay, Nicole, I can start with having my feet on the floor. Yes. I can start by breathing. Yes. I can start by asking questions about what are my values and what do I want to teach? Yes. Like, whew. and to trust that whatever arises, right, whatever has been blocked, whatever has been taught to you that is toxic, it will arise because you've created space, but it'll arise to be healed. It'll arise to be integrated and brought back home. And that is good.
Before we get started on all of that impactful stuff, I want to ask you, what is Qigong? I've never heard of that before.
Have you ever heard of Tai Chi?
Yes.
Tai Chi had its roots much more in the martial arts. Okay. But it is healing. Tai Chi is 100% healing and it has this martial arts part. Qigong, every movement is healing. Based on Chinese medicine, based on the meridian system, each movement in Qigong will be associated with an organ or with a meridian system. If you had high blood pressure, you would do this. You know, if you were dealing with headaches, you would do this. It's medicine, but it's energy medicine. The last 2.5 years, I've been going through this crazy journey around healing mold toxicity, actually, in my body. And Qigong has been the practice that has like absolutely saved me because I had all kinds of stuck energy. I was having migraine headaches. And for any of your listeners, or if you've ever had a migraine headache, they're the worst. They're debilitating. There's nothing. It's just you and the pain. Qigong has helped me so much with healing that and healing my body. And it's radical. I think it's the most amazing thing.
That sounds amazing, actually. I'm going to have to try that because I was going to mention for our listeners out there, if you can't do meditation, because meditation is really hard for me. I'm sure someday I'll get there. But meditation is super hard, but yoga I can do because there's movement. There's something for me to do so that I'm not just up here. And so Qigong sounds like it would be a really good, not necessarily transition, but another supplement to kind of help with that. So I'm definitely going to look into that.
Absolutely. And that's why I said at the beginning, it becomes about a self-discovery. Because like you said, you're like, meditation, not happening. But yoga, rock and roll. Again, it's how do I feel before and how do I feel after? You then are the one that knows, right? You're not relying on somebody else to say, well, Veronica, you should meditate. When you're like, I tried it, it doesn't work. You know what I mean? Then it becomes about a should. You know, a big part of powerful presence is self-trust. It's trusting that you're like, this is not my practice. And you will know because like you said, it's a yes. Movement can come in so many ways. It can come through exercise. It can come through yoga. It can come through a guided meditation, but it's that things are flowing in the body again.
Yeah. You're mesmerizing. I know I've said that a bunch of times, but every time you talk, I'm like, I could talk to you all day long, I think. Before we wrap up, is there any final thoughts, anything that I may have missed?
Is there anything else that comes forward that you felt like was really important to cover?
Well, you know, it's funny that you say that because there's like a question that's been banging around in my head and I'm like, go away.
Oh, no, ask it.
Okay. Let's talk all about me.
Awesome.
And I know that there's a lot of people that can resonate with this because I belong to a lot of Facebook groups, but I've had trauma in my childhood. A lot of it. If you ever listen to any of the podcasts that I've been on, it's like, ah. So when we talk about breath work or getting into your body or finding like your true essence, that's like really hard for me to even think about doing. Yeah. Is there anything that I can do to kind of work my way there? I know that it has to be done carefully and with conscious effort, or else you're going to go into like a whole flooding kind of situation and that's no fun.
Yeah, this is such an important question because, you know, I've been a Zen practitioner practicing Zazen. So Zazen is like probably the most austere of the meditation practices. I mean, it is silence and stillness, right? So for you, you're probably like, oh my God, I'm in a cage, right? And one of the head teachers, the senseis, is also a very dear friend of mine. She was witness at my wedding. And I remember we were having a conversation and she said, this is not for everybody. Like, no way. We never come forward and say, oh yeah, everybody should be doing Zazen because it is so quiet that it creates an enormous amount of noise. And so if there is not that trust that you talked about, that I can hold the noise and I'm okay, that's the most important thing, then it's just going to be horrible for you. And it's just going to erode the self-trust, right? And I will just be completely transparent, let you know that I'm working with a trauma therapist right now. Part of this health journey with me has also been a fertility journey that has been terrible. IVF didn't work. I had a miscarriage last year. The happy news is my husband and I are now looking into adoption, but it has not been pretty. It has not been pretty. And so I fully recognize and respect the container of trauma, and that it becomes about, again, what is the baby step for you? What is the small step for you? And recognizing what helps me, again, be in my body. What allows me to just kind of feel like I'm breathing a little bit more? I'm just such a firm believer that this is unique to each person. I have a couple clients who have ADHD. They really need exercise. Like one, he will go to the gym and oh, it's so good. Like he feels like he's gone to the gym, he's lifted weights and it's moved things. You know what I mean? Like right. He actually feels like I'm in my body. He knows that that's something that's vital for his mental well-being as he is in therapy and kind of unpacking, what does this mean? Where did this begin? I feel like there's that piece. And then here's the other thing. I have a course called Powerful Presence. And I have this amazing cognitive therapist named Tom Tynan in there. And he goes through with inner child work. And what I love about his work is that it's all about bringing the child back home, right? Like you said, like I imagine before that event happened, there was a lot more carefreeness. Your innate wholeness and innocence was free before there was a trauma. In his work that he does, he takes everybody through a process of just kind of first connecting with your values, which is really nice. You start with something that feels like really yummy and juicy and empowering. And then it's just kind of recognizing that the behavior of those caregivers and the adults in your life was inappropriate. And most likely was something ancestrally that they've just passed down, right? It becomes this unconscious loop. Like I had one client that said to me recently, I just realized it's not my fault. And this was radical for her. Like it actually was a relief because here she is in her 20s and she's like, I've always believed it's my fault. So now she's like, wait, if it's not my fault and this was inappropriate behavior, what does this mean? So for her, it means she can go back and reclaim that little girl. And the way that Tom talks about it is almost like, you know, it's almost like you're putting your arm around her and you're bringing her home, right? You're bringing her back into your heart. Because we have to remember that wholeness means all parts of us are accepted. It's taking that beautiful time to listen to each part that is crying, each part that is saying, I need this, I need that. You go, I hear you now. I'm turning towards you now. I'm not putting you under the bed or locking you in the closet or gagging you. I'm going to listen. That part of you is now saying, oh, I'm being heard. Thank goodness. And so that allows for that process of integration. So, you know, you're beginning with these little tiny practices that allow you to come into the body to again, hear the parts of you speak, and then to be able to bring them home into wholeness.
I feel like I would first, I want to address one thing for our audience who might be listening, because I don't want them to think that there's like no hope. When I first started therapy like 2 years ago, because I had lost about 170 pounds and all of a sudden my body went, wah! Like no more armor. What the heck? That's where this whole journey began. But when I first started going back to therapy and working on those issues, my therapist, who didn't know me very well at that point, and to my own flaw, I hadn't disclosed everything yet. And a lot of it I hadn't remembered yet. So that wasn't my fault. But she gave me a quiet practice, like to get into my body. And oh my gosh, the panic attack that ensued from like, and it carried over to like months. It was bad. But there's hope, people, because just 2 nights ago, going through something entirely different, and I realized that I was talking to myself and I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm in my body and I'm talking to myself and this is totally working, which is what she was telling me to do 2 years ago, and then it didn't work. So there's hope, is what I'm saying. But before we hang up, I want our listeners to know where they can connect with you, because I feel like every time you talk,
I feel like you're talking to my soul. So I know I want to connect with you, and I know I can't be the only one, because wow.
Oh my gosh. Thank you so much. So your listeners can connect with me at NicoleRogers.com. And I spell my name super weird. It's NicoleRogers.com. I'm on Instagram at Nicole_Rogers. Facebook, I've got a closed Facebook group that's a wonderful community called the Empowered Confidence Studio. So you can just type that in and ask to come join. If this Reclaim Your Confidence is something that you're listening to going, Nicole, wow, I really want to reclaim my confidence. I remember being confident. I want to get it back, especially with everything we're living right now. When you sign up for that, then you will automatically come onto my email list, and I send out weekly tips on how you can access your unstoppable confidence and transform your life.
Absolutely. And I'll put all of that in the show notes, guys, so you don't have to worry about writing all that down. But it's so funny that you talk about spelling your name funky. Veronica spelled with a K also. So
yes, it's all about the K's.
That's right. Awesome. But anyway, I want to thank you so much for coming on here today, because I feel like I've learned a ton, and I know our listeners did too. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much. And I just wanted to last thing. I just thought of something.
Absolutely.
Which is, when you talked about there is hope, it was so beautiful, because what it does is it places your listeners on the journey as opposed to the result, to recognize that it is one little step at a time. It is one little breath, and all of these things add up. You know, you're beautiful proof of that, Veronica. And I just wanted to put that last piece in, that, you know, we can kind of create space away from this patriarchal model that tells us that we have to do it in a certain amount of time. The result looks a certain way. And instead be like, no, what is my journey? I'm going to take a step today. Maybe today I'll rest. No, I'm going to take a step today, step tomorrow. You know, it becomes then about the process, the practice. And it just feels like such a beautiful relief.
That's wonderful. And thank you so much for that. That meant a lot to me, actually. And through my personal journey, I feel like there's a lot of inspirational people out there that I would listen to, and I would go, well, I can't do that. Like, you're already like this mega like person, and that's impossible for me. So I wanted people to be able to look at my journey and go like, she's a mess. If she can do it, I could totally do it.
Yeah. For them to know that they're not alone. Absolutely.
Yeah. Cause there's a lot of people, I think, need to connect with themselves, because if everybody connected to their true self and did what brought them joy and gave them passion, this would be a much different and much better world.
I agree.
Awesome. Well, thanks again. And guys, I'll be back to wrap up the show right after this. I know I said this a million times during an interview, but wow, I learned so much from Nicole, and I'm so glad she was on the show. She really spoke to me on a personal level, and I hope she made an impact for you as well. Thank you guys so much for joining me today, and I'll catch you next time on The Biz Essentials.
You've been listening to The Biz Essentials. Thanks for listening to the show. We hope you've gotten some useful and practical information, learning how to be productive, be successful, be joyful, and more importantly, be yourself, and turning your dreams into successful passion projects. By listening to this show, you've already set into motion the most important part, starting. So it's important to catch the next episode. Make sure to like, rate, and review the show. In the meantime, hook up with us on social media at Veronica Ventures and at The Biz Essentials. Till next time, this is The Biz Essentials.
Today's quote of the day is, beauty is about being comfortable in your own skin. It's about knowing and accepting who you are. Ellen DeGeneres. Remember, only you are uniquely you. Be out there, be joyful, and be yourself. Thank you guys so much for joining me today, and I'll catch you next time on The Biz Essentials. Bye.